Welcome to the latest Watercolors Aquarium Gallery podcast, brought to you from the Aquariumware Studios in downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. My name is Ben.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Charles.
And tonight, we have a special guest. Jonathan is here.
Howdy, howdy. How's it going?
Doing great, Jonathan. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good, you know?
The only reason we allowed you on the podcast is because you brought us beer. By the way, that does work. If you want to get on the podcast, bring us beer.
It's a pretty easy bribe, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, you show up on a Tuesday night with beer, you might end up in an episode.
There we go.
You'll definitely get a mention. That's no doubt. And with a microphone in your face, it's a possibility as well. We brought Jonathan on because, so this episode should be coming on right around April Fool's Day. No, not an April Fool's joke on Jonathan. We're actually going to keep you on here. But we wanted to do something kind of fun and silly, and we've known Jonathan for a couple of years now through some conventions and as our Awazi rep, and, it'd be a great addition to a fun, kind of silly podcast.
Well, so. We were joking about it earlier, and it was just like, maybe we should just include him because we're having too much fun just talking about it.
Exactly. But before we really get into it,
we have to do our shameless plug. So be sure to go out to watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. Check out what kind of live plants we have up there right now. We also have the products we've talked about on the show and some merch designed by some of your hosts here. Let's see what will be up there as of April 1st. Might have some new Yurio Collins on there.
Nice. April Fools. No, we won't. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, I know. What random rare plant can I say we have?
What's that? Blixa? We'll definitely have Blixa.
Peace lilies.
Peace lilies. Yes, we have Brazilian swords as well.
Yep. And red crinkle.
And Mondo grass.
Mondo grass.
Banana plants.
Yes.
Don't forget that lucky bamboo. Ooh.
All fully aquatic, we promise.
Fully aquatic. By the way, that is an April Fool's joke. Just want to be clear.
There you go. We got an April Fool's joke in there.
Oh, thank you.
Wait, do we need to shameless plug Awaza too?
That's, yeah, we might as well.
They're who are lending us Jonathan today.
Yeah.
Exactly. Aw, thank you.
And also, easily my favorite canister filters, and no, I'm not sponsored.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
If you want to, I would love to.
Let's talk.
Yeah, we should talk.
They're the company I feel like is listening to hobbyists most. So if you have a problem you need to solve, it might be a good idea to take a look at their selection.
Yeah.
They have quickly become the favorite filter for aquascapers, mm-hmm. because the thermal line, you don't have to have an ugly heater in your tank. It goes right in the filter.
Because why does a good heater have to be so freaking ugly?
Exactly. Are those available on our website?
They should be, yeah. Perfect. Whatever you've got in stock should be on there.
There you go.
Also, the surface skimmers are the new thing that's really hitting it big right now for us.
People went wild for those.
Those are sweet.
And they can haul in some serious detritus.
They're kind of spooky sometimes, actually. They're kind of small, and they can do a lot.
Very cool stuff.
The pack a punch. Yeah. The 350 can pull its weight.
How do they do with duckweed?
Amazing, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Have you noticed the front tank has a much less duckweedy?
Oh, right.
It's because Nick put one of the lent ones from Awaze on there. Now you have to clean it out a lot because that filter, that pump is kind of intense for that size, but...
If you go through and do a major clean out on a duckweed infested aquarium.
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. And then put one of those in there.
Yeah.
That'll clean up the rest.
It'll seal the deal.
And keep them gone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does it have an indicator if it's full?
So the answer is no.
Let Jonathan answer.
Sorry.
No worries. No, you'll see, if it's full. There's also a couple different attachments for the top two. So depending upon what you're trying to skim, you can change that up to, keep fish and shrimp out, but also at the same time increase the amount of water going into the unit. So if you've done a fresh trim or, Ben, in the case of what you've said, you're trying to get rid of the remaining pieces of duckweed so it doesn't, repopulate and take over the tank again. You can take off the top crown or put the crown back on to have it overflow even faster, et cetera. So there is some indication when it's clogged. So it will, it'll tell you by looking at it. So just take a look through and, clean when necessary.
Look at our fish tank.
Oh, I mean, hopefully you're doing that on a somewhat regular basis,
is there a
right?
Specific term for the floaty doohickey.
That's it, floaty doohickey. Yeah,
because that's how I keep track. Because that behaves very differently based on how full it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any new products you want to make sure they know about?
Not your chance, John.
Well, we recently sold one of the Scaper Line 90s, and that was pretty freaking dope.
Yes,
that's a gorgeous tank.
New tanks and stands. That's the part that gets me really excited.
The stands are really exciting. And, you know, in the past, some of my past jobs I've had were aquarium maintenance. I've worked at numerous different aquarium stores in the Chicagoland area. And, you know, obviously I'm biased, but I will have to say that the stands are probably one of my most favorite products that we have, just because of the design and the engineering elements that have been implemented into them. Now, that's enough of a plug right there, but
they're just
really unique.
Standard great stands anymore.
No. Mm. And these are thought out. They have the things I would want them to have. They're really cool.
The little magnet.
Yeah, we should have some new features coming out for those too in the future here too. I can't say too much, but you know, I'll
drop a couple hints.
Yeah. So,
you know, we have a lot of merch on our website, which are designs from Amy and I, and usually it's specific fish.
Mm-hmm.
None of the fish we are talking about tonight will be merch.
We're not going to sell them. Let me check. Oh, wait. I might have one.
Seriously?
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
All right. So if you're wondering, like, what the heck is this episode all about? I think it's going to be titled like Stupidest Fish or Dumbest Fish or
Stupidest Dumb Fish, we can't stand all time.
Yeah. So I was talking about the concept of this episode to one of my friends who is not a fish person. And she said, oh, like the word refrigerator. I'm like, what? She said, yeah, I don't like the word refrigerator.
You have some weird friends.
I know, I do. It's true. But that was it. Why don't you like the word refrigerator? I have no idea. I just don't like the word refrigerator. Right? So these are not fish that we think you shouldn't keep these fish because it's terrible for blah, 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 whatever, whatever. Or this fish gets too blah, blah, blah. Or this fish. No. These are fish that we just think are dumb. Like, why would you keep this? That's it.
So for me, it was actually, I guess I went in a slightly different direction. For me, it was fish that I love, but every time I look at them, I'm like, God, you are so stupid.
My first one is, it's stupid that it exists. My second one is, it looks stupid. And my third one is stupid.
I've got a couple that kind of fall under some of those categories. And also kind of a double whammy with some of those as well, too. So it'll be interesting.
One thing I want to know is if we name somebody's favorite fish tonight. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And if we do, sorry, lighten up. This is all in jest, all in fun. So, all right, Amy, I got to know what your first stupid fish.
Okay. This is one that I just cannot understand why it exists. It's a combination of a fish that nobody should want and a fish that nobody does want. I got to talk about the polar blue cichlid.
The polar blue cichlid.
Do you know what that is? It's gotten like crazy popular lately. We've had people ask for it.
Really? What is it?
It is a hybrid of a blood parrot cichlid and a convict cichlid.
Done.
Let's take a dumb fish and make it dumber.
Yes, exactly.
Let's take a dumb fish and make it mean.
Yeah. Like, the only thing a blood parrot has going for it is its color. This does not have that. And the thing a convict has going is it's so hardy and easy to keep. Just, you know, don't even think about it.
Wait, is this thing going to reproduce like convicts?
I would think so. I have no idea. We've had somebody trade in a group before and want to get good credit for them.
That was a solid.
A group of this.
Yes.
People like
polar
them.
Polar ice cichlid. Somebody. We have some.
We
did.
Yeah.
They might have moved on to get credit from somebody else. Did they actually come in, or did they take them back? I think they took them with them.
Yeah, I think because we were not given credit for that.
Do you know this fish, John?
Now that we talk about it, it rings a bell. I've seen it in some of the local club swaps near me. It sounds like another fish you could leave in a 5-gallon bucket for a week and you'd probably have it spawn, you know? So like pretty true to the typical convict cichlid, right?
Yeah. So just with the added difference of having a stupid face.
You know, Justin might be able to breed these.
Maybe. No, you're pushing it with that. I didn't even know that these fish existed.
Yeah, they do.
I think I would be better off if not knowing that these existed.
Sorry.
Like, whoever didn't tell me about the fact that they were almost traded in, thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, Ben, when's your birthday? Let me ask that.
April 1st.
Oh, wow.
What a coincidence.
There's going to be someone listening to this who's offended. I got to know that.
Absolutely.
Well, just, you know.
Just lighten up if you're offended by it.
See, that's why I tried to make my list. I like them, but you got to admit, this is a stupid fish.
This is a fish I just don't like for all kinds of I don't like it reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have the nice stripes. It has ugly stripes.
Yeah.
Convicts at least have good stripes.
Yeah, they're beautiful fish.
I'm a convict fan.
Actually, one of our accounts that we take care of is a pediatric office with a colony of the pink-tummied ones.
Oh, that's nice. Perfect.
It's great. Mm-hmm.
I bet they have a blast with that.
It's so simple. There's so much activity in the tank, and it almost takes care of itself. All I have to do is make sure there's food and do water changes. That is it.
Perfect.
Isn't there a species of convict that's like the quote-unquote like yellow or banana convict that's like slightly different than the traditional type, but... Am I imagining things
no,
here?
No, not at all. There's six or seven species.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, in that group.
In the right like aquarium, I feel like those can really, I mean, talk about parenting behavior, things like that.
Yeah.
Like it's the classic cichlid feel. So if you are the number one convict fan and are listening to this, you know, it's just a generalities kind of thing, you know?
They've made it onto our, they were one of your fish worth designing a tank around, or one of ours.
They're, and they were one of my most underrated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan. I dig them. Yeah.
So it's.
So we go around the table, Jonathan.
Okay.
So
yeah.
You heard the first one.
Well, I don't know, Amy. You kind of, you took a little bit of that, but.
I don't want to take your thunder
No, there's no thunder, but I do have one. You mentioned blood parrots, and I just, there's a bone I have to pick with these ones. So a long time ago in a Chicagoland area far, far away from here in Grand Rapids, I used to do a lot of aquarium maintenance. And also during college, I used to do a lot of aquarium maintenance. What was the face looking at me at most of those accounts? Like 9 out of 10 of them every single time, you know? Blood parrots.
Painful.
I understand why people like them. I get it. It's a wet pet kind of situation. Like, you know, they look at you. They're begging for mercy, you know, like, but exactly.
But they smile so much.
Yeah. But when the auto feeder turns or you're hand feeding and it's just, the food is falling and it's just struggling so hard to pick up those pellets or that flake.
You gotta give them this. They've got that will to live, man.
Fair, you know, and that's admirable in its own way. But I just, you know, it's not for me. And I just, oh my God.
I wonder if it started with somebody taking, like, hey, look how cool red devils are.
Yeah.
You know,
I can admit that.
You know what it
you're
is?
Right. I'm really going to piss somebody off, right?
Yeah.
A red devil is to a parrot cichlid what a wolf is to a pug.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's a great analogy. That's, yeah.
Down to the stupid expression on the
face. Exactly.
Because it is like, they always look happy. That's why people like them. They look like little baby faces, but it's like if you taped somebody's face back into a smile and then say, oh, look, they're so happy.
They're smiling, like the Joker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's the anthropomorphization of happiness in a fish.
Yeah.
And there's just something that bugs me about that. I don't know.
You are preaching to the choir on that, John. Probably. I could not agree with you more.
I think my favorite experience with one, though, was one time I was cleaning one of the cubes with one in it. And I'm used to like having that instinct of, big cichlid coming at me. Better move, when, otherwise it'll bite you. And
come back here and I'll bite your kneecaps off.
Exactly.
I'd love to see them try. I don't think they physically could bite you.
So they can try. I would describe it as gumming. And I was kind of like, okay, fine. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And I'm just going to let him keep doing what he's doing because it's doing nothing.
It's like having a goldfish that's just like, mouthing it.
Yes.
It's like tugging at like three arm hairs. And that's about it.
I was like,
Whatever. I'm going to point my finger at you really hard.
Because if it was a red devil, you'd be getting out of there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those things could draw blood. They have that name for a reason. Sure.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah. Yep, good call.
Definitely needed to be brought up.
It's one of those classic examples, right, of hybridized fish that, you know, people love. I understand it, but
somehow
it's
you got
just
the worst of all of it.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite hybridized fish is? Blank. Go ahead, Charles. What's yours?
So, in light of the episode we just did.
Wait, is this one airing before that one, if it's the first?
No, I'm just saying, so we just recorded our clownfish one, wild-type clowns. In light of that, I'm going completely the other way. Good Lord, captive-bred clownfish can be stupid. I love them so much. Captive-bred clownfish are easily my favorite thing about the marine hobby. I want to be very clear on that. But have you ever heard the expression, don't bite the hand that feeds you?
Yeah, clownfish are notorious for that.
They do not read the same books we do, as Ben likes to say, and captive-bred clowns are the opinion of that, but also they will host to literally anything.
Yeah, what's the dumbest thing you've seen a clownfish host to?
That's a good
Allie Powerhead.
Powerhead, yeah.
Allie has one that hosts to the surface of the water.
Yes, her crazy midnight clown.
Mm-hmm.
Upside down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, upside down. It swims upside down all the time.
Rewrite itself when it's food time, and then it'll go back to hosting in the corner.
The surface of the tank where she can't see it, where it doesn't connect. I've seen them host to magnets, like magnet scrapers, which move all the time and are probably the worst thing to live in.
The pair of Onyx Picassos host to the tube in that tank instead of... Mm-hmm. Every single anemone we've ever put in there.
They live in our anemone tank.
And host to a tube.
I had someone come in very concerned that his clownfish was swimming sideways, and he showed me a picture, and I immediately laughed, and he goes, don't laugh at me. I'm like, I'm not laughing at you. Your clown is hosting to your glass.
At least you can see it there. It's not the back, the bottom of the overflow box.
But...
Well, Yeah.
Like a clown swimming sideways like that is very concerning if you don't know what it's doing.
They don't act like normal fish.
No.
I had a pair, not mine, but it was a customer's when I was doing the maintenance, right? Same splint of time as the parrot cichlids, the blood parrots, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a pair of clowns that would host underneath of the overflow box. It was one of those overflow boxes where it only is like 4 inches deep from the surface.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an account that I took over, so there was rock already in place, and it was all glued in place, and the rock covered the overflow box. So I can't tell you how many calls I got from this customer being like, I can't find my clowns. I can't find my clowns. And meanwhile, they're literally upside down underneath the overflow box, you know, laying eggs and everything, like happy as can be.
Right.
You know, everything's peachy, but, you know.
Living the dream.
Yeah, ultimate privacy in an aquarium, right? But it's just the things they choose to host. Why? What is going on in their little fish brains that makes them decide that's the right spot? That's it.
Just
let's set up camp.
Static.
Yeah.
This is clearly where we are setting up our roots.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that makes them dumb.
I love it.
Ben, what are you going to start with?
I'm going with a fish that's boring. Mm. It's the most boring fish I could possibly think of. It's so boring that I don't even know what to say about it, other than that it's really, really boring. So it's not just that it's boring. It's a cheap fish.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
There are other fish that are the same price that aren't boring. Black skirt tetras.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want a black skirt tetra?
When there's 100 other cooler things you could choose from.
They're popular. Like, they're for sale all over. They are hardy fish.
Well, I think that kind of answers the question right there, right?
Right, but Serpe tetras and black neon tetras are just as hardy, just as cheap. And they're not as ugly.
Yeah, line
very
them
true.
Up next to a Serpe tetra, and why would
I'm sorry,
you
I said
choose
ugly.
It?
They're not ugly. They're boring. Ugly at least can have some demeaning. Like, pugs are ugly, right?
But you
they're
love them.
Ugly, but that makes them cute.
Yeah,
it makes
it's
them
endearing.
An anglerfish is a really ugly fish, but it's endearing.
Mm-hmm.
Black skirt tetras don't even have that going for them.
They're like Ixus?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I've got a conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
about
I like conspiracy theories. Yes, let's hear it.
So, all right. So I think traditionally black skirt tetras are probably one of those fishes that, you know, kind of more old school stores may use for cycling tanks, getting, you know, new customers. Mm-hmm. You know, not that I don't condone really fish cycles sometimes. I don't know what everyone's stance is, but nonetheless.
Not in the sense of using a fish to cycle a tank.
Correct.
There are safe ways to fish and cycle.
Cycle a tank with a fish, only one you want.
Exactly. And right. So the idea being is that if you give a customer, and especially someone that's new to the hobby, a really bland, boring fish to your credit, then it's gonna, instead of them having some really nice Serpe tetras that will color up in time, etc., it's gonna have them come back to swap them out. They get the fish back, they get their money back, they get the fish in as collateral.
Doesn't care if they fail because the fish is so boring.
Yeah, it's like
you're not gonna fall in love with it.
Yeah, I don't know. No, that's just, I've not tested this
that's
theory.
That's an interesting theory.
That's so depressing.
It is. It's dismal, really. Yeah.
But it is amazing how many tanks out there have one or two black skirt tetras in them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that definitely lines up.
I think that tracks with the people that start out at a big box store or even the local big grocery store that carries fish, and they go, I'll have one of those and one of those. What else don't I have? Oh, I don't have that one. Right?
Yeah.
It's like the consolation prize. I don't have these, so I might as well have that. Then I have them all. The only reason anyone would have black skirt tetra.
I will give them this. They have one thing going for them.
What's that?
They look like a really crappy version of a hatchet fish.
Hatchet fishes are the same price.
It's true.
Okay, they might be $1 more. Come on.
Right, it's true.
Yeah.
Not here.
Yeah, that's true.
Marbles and silvers are the same price as the black skirt tetra here.
Well, there's a couple different types of silvers too, right? I mean,
there's a lot of varieties of silvers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember what the species is of the one we usually get, so I can't even.
We've got two in right now.
Two different types of silver hatchets?
Of hatchets. We've got the marbles and we've got the platinums.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get the pygmies one at this time.
Yeah,
those are people cool. Would love those.
Anyway.
Wink, wink, we'll come back to hatchets in a minute.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
All right.
What else did I say about them?
You said everything.
Yeah, I did. They're boring. Right.
There's nothing more
to
say.
I kind of understand if they were cheaper. But they're not.
No.
No reason.
Well,
even if you're going to, I'm not condoning this, if you're going to PetSmart, Zebra Daniels are the same price tag and way more interesting.
Mm-hmm. White Clouds, same price tag, just as hardy.
This is why we need to have the Cheap Cool Fish podcast.
We do, it's true.
Yeah.
All right, Amy, what you got?
All right, for this one, I tried to think of the dumbest looking fish that I could think of. And this one definitely put itself above the others, both because it looks stupid, but most of the time you can't even see it. And I went with the moose face loach, which is just basically a giant nose with a tail attached. But you know, when you have it in your tank, it really just looks like a pair of eyeballs.
Yeah.
I almost need to piggyback on this one.
Yeah.
Because horse face loach was one of mine.
They're very similar.
Super, super similar fish.
I absolutely recommend these fish to anybody because it's so funny how stupid they look.
Wasn't there a Seinfeld episode called Horse Face?
Oh, I don't remember.
So the Urban Dictionary has...
You don't even like Seinfeld.
No,
I don't remember that.
I don't. The Urban Dictionary defines... a horse face as an insult to a person, an unattractive person who, unattractive attention-seeking person, right? Horse face don't even have the attention-seeking part going for them. They're just unattractive and don't want the attention.
I'm ugly so no one can see me.
They're not ugly and proud. They're ugly and ashamed.
And I think if you wow, that person's a horse face. I think you could go, oh no, that's a moose face.
That does sound worse.
It does, doesn't it?
It's also much more Midwestern. I think it's pretty fitting, you know?
Hey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know there's some horse face loach fans out there, but...
I hope they agree.
I hope so too. I do have to admit, those have the so ugly they're cute going for them.
Mm-hmm.
They do. That's I have a soft spot for them, but they look stupid.
Check out my cool fish. Where is it? I don't know.
So the googly eyes in the sand, there you go.
Look at my cute baby. Oh.
Oh.
You just got to start by pitching it like, look at this evolutionally, like evolutionary, like adapted, like fish. And,
this is the peak nature can provide.
Right.
Fit condition.
I just love crap like that where like, I often think of things in the like light of evolution and being like, so when the question is survival of the fittest, this is really what you come up with?
And it's a good answer.
Really?
Yeah, nature makes jokes quite literally in the form of horse-faced loaches and moose-faced loaches, you know?
Fair enough.
Indubitably. I love it.
Jonathan, what else do you have for us?
All right, so we're going to go back to the hatchet fish comment from earlier. I think that's pretty fitting. I want to preface this with...
I'm going to fight you.
No, okay. All right. All right,
you
I'm rolling up my sleeves, right?
I know, right? I'm joking, Jonathan.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I'm going to fight myself on this, too.
Okay.
I love hatchet fish, all the different species, even the large, I don't even know if it's in the same complex per se or the same genus, but the larger like dusky hatchets and everything.
Yeah.
Those guys are super cool. They don't ship well, so you don't see them in the aquarium trade and they get much larger, but, go to your public aquarium. And hatchet fish are awesome. Evolutionary and morphology wise, they are perfectly adapted for the environment and the niche that they occupy. That being, you know, being able to jump out of the water to escape predators from, you know, below. So they're basically have these puffed out chests, you know, their pectoral fins. Everything is designed to really get them out of the water as quick as possible and to kind of fling themselves like a, you know, tossing a penny in the air
they
kind of.
They can actually achieve lift.
Oh, there we go. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That's awesome.
They have a better per size capability of flight than flying fish.
So NASA was involved with the development of this fish. now, my gripe with them is that in the wild, they are perfectly evolved for their, you know, their scenario, right? They're what they do.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Today's day and age, it is, what, 2023? I lost count of the years.
It is 2023.
Okay, 2023.
That seems wrong.
Rimless tanks are on the rage.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine a more inappropriate style of tank for this fish. And it is just so ironic to me that they can be so appropriately adapted to the wild, but taken out of that context and put into the context of a planted aquarium in a rimless tank. No more than 24 hours and you'll find them. you'll find some, you know, fish crisps on the ground the next day.
15 feet away.
Yeah, yes. All across your house.
They spook easy. They're going to jump. You know they're going to jump. And even in tanks that have lids on them, if they are not completely tight fitting, I'm not sure if you guys have had the same experience, but yeah. I've had tanks where there's even an inch gap next to where the, you know, filter inlet or outlet is going into the tank and there's a gap in the lid. You will lose half of that school within, you know, a month.
I believe it.
Maybe a week.
And it's cruel because they look so good from the top down.
They are.
I think a group of them from like the side look amazing.
Yeah. They're amazing. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
I almost think that they belong better in like a paludarium setting than per se, you know, where you have the water
where
level.
Can bounce off the wall and land back in the tank.
Cause some major trauma before landing back
flip
in the water.
Flip around with sharp barks for a while and then back into the tank.
Yeah, you know.
As nature intended.
Traumatize all your land residents.
Well, I mean, that's no different than some of the killies down in South America, right?
No doubt.
Ooh,
yeah,
shots
no doubt.
Fired at some of the killie guys. But that being said,
better not be Achilles in this episode.
Yeah, exactly. We love our Achilles, right?
Absolutely.
I love them. I love hatchet fish. They're cool. Really am itching to get a school of some of the smaller species again in a black water setting. But I mean, just not
they
a good fit.
Chill.
Yeah,
they don't seem to know they need water to survive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
I got a worse one for rimless tank.
Yeah, oh. I bet Charles is going to build
on
that.
I want to hear this.
Yeah.
So, Betta Immaculata.
Okay.
I almost put it down.
I am completely shocked with how high they can jump, how far they can crawl, and how small of a hole they need to pull it off.
I think you should expand that to the Immaculata complex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
the
are
big, strong Bettas.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had one in a 5-gallon bucket once, and there was probably, I'm trying to picture it in my head, there was about 3 inches of water, and it managed to clear it. get onto the floor, and it made it about 10 feet before. So it was thick carpet. Apparently, that was enough traction for it to snake away from me. And I was like, are you... You're an aquatic animal. How can you outrun me on land?
Oh, wait. This is like what you were watching.
It's in yes. real time?
Yes. Oh, my. It was faster than him, I think you
yes.
saying.
So you're not saying you found it 10 feet away. You're saying you were there. You watched it leap from the 5-gallon bucket.
Yes.
And swim on the carpet.
Yes.
That's badass.
See, and- I wasn't there when mine jumped out of my fully lidded tank, and I found it 30 feet away.
30?
Across concrete.
We wow. had one get... Okay, so the row of 20s, that's way on the end here.
Yeah.
We had, while Mara was doing a water change, the female jumped out, and she crawled all the way to the Killy corner before we caught her.
Okay, so next time I come back, I need you all to have your official measurements on the distance that your bettas have yeah, run. Yeah. And I'm going to bring back an excellent job sticker or a little...
At least a gold star.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And we'll award the one that was the winning distance.
The Olympic betta.
Yeah.
This is like another great example of like a fish that does so well what it does in the wild, and then you bring it in captivity and you completely remove it from that context where like, that behavior is actually designed to, so they like to hang in the little like pools that would be like in the soft spots and turns of rivers. And so sometimes like if a log falls wrong, that spot can dry up.
Oh.
So their entire strategy is, okay, well, I got to get out, get back to the mainstream and make it to another spot, or you know what I mean? So very advantageous skill to have in the wild. Not so much in a tank where I'm doing water changes for you, little jerk.
No, and mine wouldn't only jump. I have like freckles on my arms, so they'd bite me the whole time I was doing anything in the tank.
Both
and
jerks.
They wouldn't let go. So one startled me one time and bit me and didn't let go as I ripped my hand from the tank and flung it across the room.
Wait, does that count? Like if you accidentally throw it, does she still get the gold star?
We're going to have different categories now.
I don't know if it was farther than the one that crawled or not, but it was fine.
Yeah, they're hardy, but man.
They have to be.
Things are crazy.
Yeah, it's hard to even feel bad at that point. You could have just let go. Yeah. Dumb fish.
I love them, but God, they're stupid.
I really yeah. miss those fish. I miss my Unimaculatus a lot.
They're cool bettas.
Well, really cool. It seems like we are bringing up some cool fish that do stupid things. I'm going to bring up a cool fish that just attracts stupid people.
Oh, no.
You know, when you get that person who walks in the door and says, I want me a badass fish like a piranha or an Oscar, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is our response?
Do you want a badass fish or do you want a piranha?
Exactly. I actually love piranhas. I think they are super cool.
They are gorgeous.
Yes.
They're also one of the only fish I'm afraid of killing themselves by running into a wall.
Yes. Yes.
That's super accurate. Then you just scratch another one off my list. we're scratching each other's backs here. You
there
know?
We go. It's piranha people that are the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Piranhas are really cool fish. They are very, very shy, timid creatures with big pointy teeth.
This is similar to the conversation John and I were having earlier. Don't get something because you think it's will be something. Get something because you like it.
Shameless plug, you can spend some time with your local fish and at your local fish store to really get a good sense of what is actually a good fit. So spending time in Watercolors Aquarium gallery is a good way to actually get an idea for how these fishes actually behave in an aquarium setting.
Yeah, and our staff would be very happy to tell you specifically the personality of that individual.
Right. This guy is an idiot.
Yeah. Perfect. I'll take that one.
The piranha that we have right now, you look at the tank wrong, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
They have to feed it standing off to the side below it. If they get on a ladder, forget it.
It's going to be hiding in the corner.
I did mm-hmm. have a good bonding moment with her,
did
though.
You?
Yes.
Good.
So, good. I actually... So, alluding to the very easily startled, I was feeding the sharks, and I had a spare silver side. And I thought, hey, I'm going to treat this piranha.
Yeah.
And so I stuck it in, and I stuck it in too fast. She startled, went in the back, and then she came out because she could smell it. And she, I have never seen a piranha do this. She did a tentative bite like, what is this?
Ooh.
And then she immediately went, oh my God. And then she looked at me like, do you have another? And I'm like, no, but I'll get you one. So I came back with another one, and she happily ate a second one. And
aww.
So every once in a while, I make sure to give her a silver side now, because that is very clearly cocaine to that fish.
There's something really endearing about one piranha.
One of the things people don't understand about them is how long they can live.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was 16 years old when it
died. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I told that story to somebody, he said, oh yeah? Mine's currently 27.
Wow. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
For dedicating a tank to absolutely. Such a shy, kind of timid fish in the grand right. scheme of things, you know?
Exactly.
But here's the thing. Given my experience with that piranha and given how long they live, I am fully inclined to think that you could cultivate a relationship with that fish given mm-hmm. the time.
I think that's very true.
And yeah. So
I would so much more encourage that over putting five of them into 55.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Just a pet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Get one, yeah. love on it, and stop feeding them goldfish for the...
Were you guys Muppets fans?
Yes.
Yeah.
My piranha's name was Dr. Teeth.
Yes.
Cute.
Nice.
We're Muppet fans still.
Okay.
And there's also more than just one species of piranha, mind you, right? So, red bellies are the most common, mm-hmm. correct? Like, in the mm-hmm. aquarium trade in general, right? But there are a bunch of species that are actually okay with being solitary and actually do better solitary, correct? Mm-hmm. What's the one with the line down the face? It's like the purple stripe or like the black... You know what I'm talking
yeah.
about?
Shed has a huge one right
yes.
now.
Yes. I was in a store recently in Chicagoland area that had one in a single tank, and the thing looked wonderful, and it wasn't, you know, stressed out. It didn't have, you know, marks on its face. As you pointed out, Amy, you know, they generally, yeah. I've seen some really, really rough red belly piranhas in my yeah. time. But
especially if they're getting given goldfish and kept as big fish in a little tank, they yeah. just get nasty.
Yeah. And I worked at a shop that, you know, they no longer have this tank, but it was a nice size tank. It was 450 gallons. Right. Oh. And it had a group of maybe like 8 to 10 full grown red bellies. And in that context, in that setting, with enough structure for them to hide behind and actually show some natural behavior and such, they were fun.
That was awesome.
It was, except when we were recruited to do birthday parties at yeah. this store. And, you know, it was, that's a story for another time. But
no, it's a story for now. Yeah, I want to hear it.
You know, when you have kids screaming in front of the tank, it goes to show that their timid nature, you know, they're right. shoaling fish. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, they're not as exciting as I think people, and I know you guys have covered this in a previous episode at some point in time, I believe. But I mean, talk about a fish that'll just hide behind driftwood until the coast is clear.
Where's the piranha?
Yeah, they're all cheering and everything, and I'm sure they could probably, you know, at least feel the vibrations from, you know, the little girl in the corner who's screaming at the top of her lungs, right?
For like, blood. Make them kill something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was like a little concerning why she's so bloodthirsty, but, you know, that's a little bit of a question for the parents at another time, and at that point in time, I wasn't getting paid to handle, you know, child therapy, so, you know, but you know, it was a cool tank. It's just, again, I think there are better suited piranha species that are a little feistier generally, but, you know, that will fit that role better. But again, Charles, going back to what we had chatted about, like, if you want something that's ferocious, piranhas, you know, it ain't it, you know?
You know, what's a fish that I try to recommend people, because I think they would fit in the way that most people want to keep piranhas, and genuinely... they kind of frighten me, as in, like, I'm kind of scared to put my hand in a tank full of Exodon tetras.
Yeah, for sure.
Because yeah. those things yeah. are fast, and they yeah. shred things, and my experience with them has been they bite first, ask questions later, and right. I really don't want that to be my hand.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. To me, if you want the feeding frenzy, you go with Hillstream Danios.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. They eat crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Those mustache Daniels we have downstairs right now were insane when I threw in some food today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that you guys also got some rainbow shiners in recently.
We did. Mm-hmm.
Those also have
good.
A very fun feeding response for anyone that wants a normally pretty peaceful species that you don't need a heater for and is easy to keep for the most part, you know? Like, that's a good species with a good feeding response, too. They'll swarm.
That sounds like a badass fish.
It is. It is. Much more than your piranhas, you know? So, yeah,
it's like perfect
good.
Timing for them if you want to get them out to a pond. Somebody yeah, come get
sure.
those.
Yeah. All right, Amy.
Oh, it's my turn.
It is.
All right. Well, I was trying to think of what the stupidest fish is, as in, what is the dumbest fish? And I could only come up with one fish that could drown underwater.
Bez.
Listen, we all love them, but they are dumb.
Some of the captive strains are so stupid that they've had to breed them in shallower and shallower water because they'll forget what they're doing.
They'll forget to come up for air?
They'll forget that... They'll start swimming down, pick up an egg, and then halfway up be like, what was I doing?
Oh, yeah.
Is this oh, yeah. food?
Really?
Yes. Yeah. That's why that so many of the fancy strain bettas, they're like, you have to breathe them in like 3 inches of water. They will forget what they're doing.
See, I just personally have kind of written off, you know, love bettas. Definitely one of the fish that I really gravitate towards wild types too, as opposed to captive strains yeah. and morphs and such. Does that have any reason why there is a strain of betta called the Dumbo betta?
Well, the thing with Dumbo bettas isn't about being stupider. It's if they're not eating themselves to death, they're eating themselves to death by chewing on their fins.
Because their fins are so long.
Yeah. So
they still deserve their name, basically.
They always have torn fins because of chewing themselves on. It doesn't make them swim any better.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
But they look so pretty.
They do look pretty. And they're the one least likely to commit suicide by just straight up jumping out of a tank. So
they can't get up enough speed because there's such terrible
They've got too many spoilers on their body, right?
It's like, remember the trend with the peace lilies and bettas?
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah.
The fortunately very short-lived trend where you actually put a cover.
You still see it sometimes, but it's usually like those weird little hydroponic setups where you grow a plant out of it. And, you know, the bettas will just survive off of the roots as a true carnivore.
Right.
Yeah.
Fun fact about bettas, they are the scourge of mosquito kind in the wild. Yes. They are our friends.
They are our friends. They are the mosquito fish of Southeast Asia.
Nice. Very cool.
Wow, and you brought up bettas. That's like...
sacrilegious, but true.
Yeah.
I know. I couldn't deny it.
They are freaky dumb.
Look, some of the hardest truths are not easy to face, right?
Hard truths cut both ways.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
What's number three?
Jonathan? Okay. We're going to go a little... Is it okay to go salt water for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Charles. Sure, cool. Charles already did.
Oh, that's true. That's true. All right. This is one that I think is very popular for like the nano reef crowd and whatnot. This is more of a looks category for me. There's just something about it. Every time I see it in a store or in someone's tank online, it's just got the look on its face, like complete despair. And it just wants everything to end, like a meteor to crash in the earth or something. And, you know, it's praying for that, you know, really hard and just really hoping that maybe the tides don't work out one night or the moon drifts away. And so like the tide, you know, any instance where it can disrupt the possibility of having to go another day, it just gazes into the sky. Green clown gobies. And then also their behaviors just kind of like add on to that a little bit. And they make great fish, you know, like they're fun, they're cool, you know, maybe they don't move a whole lot until food comes out and there's some other species in that group that are a little bit more, I guess, less derpy looking, so to speak, but
they do have an extreme frowny face.
They do they just look sad. That's
You could just put all of the clown gobies in there. You don't have to just say green. The yellow ones are just a yellow version of the same.
Yeah,
they don't look as freaking depressed though.
Yeah,
but the greens look like extra. I never thought of it. You're right. They do. They do look like more pissed off that they have to continue existing than the other clown goofies do.
So when I'm driving 6 hours, this is what I think about.
It's like, remember that fish I saw earlier? Man, that fish looked depressed. Yeah.
We gotta cheer that guy up.
Yeah. That's Let's so throw him funny. A birthday party. Yeah. You know?
I thought you were about to talk about anglers for a second, and it would really fit too. This is the only fish I've seen like drift off into the distance and just give up.
That's more of like a 1,000-yard stare though. Yes. Like, this is like a knowing of the boat that they're rowing in, and it's just like they don't know, they're just wishing a waterfall that's, you know, the size of Niagara Falls is coming up right at the end, you know, around the corner, you know. They're a little bit more with it, you know. It's just
they're aware of how stupid they are.
I just sigh every time I see one, you know. Like, I don't know.
You're making me want to keep a group of clown goofies now.
I know, maybe I will too.
That's hilarious. Right? What else you got? Are you going to cheat, Charles? You haven't cheated yet.
Kind of, but not really. So I'm not going to pick a species. I'm going to pick a specific fish. And her name is Wookie.
You call her stupid? She's beautiful.
She is easily my favorite fish in the store. And she is so dumb.
She was really mad at you today, by the way.
Yeah, I know. So, Allie and I like to say that Wookie hates everyone except me. And she literally just tolerates me. That is it. And I think that's because I'm the one that feeds her.
You should explain who Wookie is.
So Wookie is a Wars Wobegon shark that came into our possession, 4 or 5 years now?
A while.
Yeah. 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
She's 80% belly.
Yep.
No, she's 80% mouth.
50% mouth, 50% belly.
She always looks angry, but she and I have spent... She's getting better. The last month in particular, she has gotten way better. And I haven't quite figured out. I have spent the better part of 2 years trying to teach her, I feed you in this corner and only this corner. And she and I have had our ups and downs on that. And I don't know if the ups and downs are she went on hunger strike because she refused, or it took her that long to figure out what I was trying to tell her.
Which even a beta would figure out in 2 or 3 days.
Yes.
I think with Wookie, I think she's stubborn.
Yeah.
No, I want to eat over here.
And I will say that if that's the case, that's dumber to me than just being
dumb.
No,
because she's an ambush predator. She can like, dude, I can hold all of them.
Dude, she held out she held out for 5 weeks before it broke down.
If you didn't say that this was a shark, I would have imagined you're describing my cat right now.
She is incredibly cat-like, but like the fattest, laziest cat you'd ever know.
And that's why I love her.
Yeah.
But she's dumb.
I think she's just stubborn.
And I believe that.
Maybe I guess there's a certain dumbness in being stubborn, isn't there?
Yeah.
Unconditional love, right? You know?
But
it's also to me the weird dichotomy of her being, you know, one of the most stubborn, maybe possibly dumb fish in the store, and also just objectively the most dangerous thing we have.
She does this chuffing thing when she's annoyed at you.
Oh, yeah.
And so, fun fact, she recognizes the sound of the barrel.
Oh, wow.
She will start chuffing at Allie when she wheels it over.
She hates Allie with like a burning passion.
Man, Allie has like the short stick of the fish. Yeah. Okay, all right.
She does the saltwater water changes.
Ah, yes.
And she's the coral person, so she's always pulling stuff out.
Right.
Well, so Allie and I, so I'm probably the next most likely because I'm the one that medicates fish, and they definitely hate you for it.
Again, my cat.
Yeah.
But also, she reacts, so it's really funny. Yeah, and I think maybe the fish pick up on that a little bit.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about Allie and Wookie, though, is that they both definitely yell at each other.
Oh, for sure. Yes, the shark can yell. They can yell silently, but that's yelling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's a dialogue there.
She'll be like, Wookie, move, get out of the way.
Yeah.
And you if just hear that smack sound at the top of the tank. Yes.
If what you would type, it would be in all caps.
Yes. But
all caps, no punctuation.
No other fish in the history of me working here has simultaneously maintained the, when I'm giving the tour of the basement, so this is my favorite fish in the store, and also consistently pisses me off.
Yeah, for sure.
Aw.
Yeah.
She's great.
Ah, Wookie.
You're just making me love her more.
She's the best.
All right, where do we leave off?
We're right to me. I think this is our last like main one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I already did three.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is your last. Okay.
You know what? I guess if we're shooting the way we're shooting, we might as well. I'm going with most Malawi cichlids.
Wow, ooh, Ben's mm-hmm. the one who did it.
Oh, man.
Now I wish we were recording earlier when me and...
What?
Me and some other person were talking, and we were like, they're evolutionary really cool, but I'm not an evolutionary biologist.
Look, Charles, you know, I'm from Chicagoland area. That is the start of the cichlid belts. I may not return next time. My car is going to end up in the Des Plaines River, and that's about it.
Yeah, do you know what a Chicago tune-up is? Have you heard that term?
Surprisingly, no.
No?
No.
Oh. It's cement shoes?
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
That's a Chicago tune-up.
Mm-hmm.
I almost put down Mbuna, just generally.
I'm going to specifically talk about Mbuna.
It's on my list, too.
Let's hear the spiel. Yeah. I want to hear Ben's negative take on Malawi cichlids.
They start out great.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm going to do 5 yellow labs and 5 socolophis and 5 Metroclin esterae, the cherry red zebras, and 5, I don't care what else.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put them in what size tank? My 55.
Which, that's the dream team. If you're going to do it, you do those species.
Right. 2 years later, half of them have killed each other, and the other half are hybridizing.
Into brown.
Yeah, into brown. All of the rest of them are hybridizing. We have, I don't know, fortunately less and less, but we have had a number of Malawi cichlid service aquariums out there because they're almost as pretty as saltwater fish and not as hard.
Don't so you have any colorful fish?
I actually had a customer say to me one time, I want big, colorful, cheap fish that aren't going to kill each other.
So, I mean, maybe not cost effective, but glowfish tank, right?
Hey, Amy, will you turn his microphone off?
You are cut off.
Done. That's it.
Because
take away his beer.
I was going to say, not cost effective, but male rainbow tank.
That's good old, and for a maintenance tank, that's not a bad idea as long as you convince the person that wants this tank that, you know, the 3-inch individuals that are available will color up one day, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's
but
the big
$20 thing. Malawi cichlid over $20 rainbow, which one looks cooler?
Oh, no doubt. I would rather see a goldfish tank than a Malawi cichlid tank at this point. This is, it took me a long time to get to this point. I have kept Malawi cichlids. I have bred probably 12 different species. Set up many Malawi cichlid tanks. And it's the long-term fallibility of a Malawi cichlid tank that just makes me go, no.
There's just something...
They're annoying.
There's just something about it. It's why I moved away from keeping sorority tanks and started working with wild bettas. Is there's just something about a tank where you just know at some point someone's going to get picked off, and then 6 months later it's going to happen again.
Right.
It's the only niche of fish keeping where dead fish is just expected.
Yeah.
Right. Some of them are going to die every once in a while, and that's just how it is.
I mean, we used to have this father and son that would come into the store. We're going back 15 years here. And it was clearly it was not a healthy father-son relationship. And it was an adult son, right? Probably 20, 22, sometime around that age. And he came in going, I'm going to buy my dad another fish because he wants more for his 55. And so we started to explain to him the Malawi cichlid thing. And of course, the question went to him, is this fish going to get along with this fish? Well, when it comes, and like, we need to just like get a parrot that would hit record. Well, when it comes to Malawi cichlids and whether or not they're going to get along, this is what you do when this is a moment.
If they can get away.
And we said to him, so, you know, these fish will kind of work itself out, and some of the smaller ones might get picked off and die, and what you get left over with will work. And he went, wait, some are going to die? And you could see him like rocking back and forth with, my dad's not going to like that.
But it's what it is.
But it's what happens.
Ooh, yeah.
You got to be fooling yourself into thinking that it's not going to happen.
I know.
Maybe in peacock groups?
A group of male peacocks, but you got to spend $80 a fish now on male peacocks.
Yeah. And people aren't often doing that with just peacocks. They're doing it with a mix of random fish.
Right. So if you did embunos in like harems, like you did a single species, like one male, multiple females, is that long-term viable?
If it's not mixed.
So species only tank for that. Okay.
Yep.
A tank of yellow labs with some dark rock and Anubias. It's cool. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But
and long-term viable.
Yeah. Yep. And you've got to be disciplined not to just chuck something else in there.
Right.
Nobody's doing that.
And you've got to also, like, if you have two species of Umbuna in a tank, I don't care what they are. All of the babies should be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. And even Odd Konings would agree with this, that if you have two species of Malawi cichlids in a tank, all of the offspring should be destroyed. Like, any Malawi cichlid can interbreed with any Malawi cichlid. And I think that there's total truth in that.
I mean, we were talking about the absurd crosses that went into making a parrot.
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, cichlids are just weird.
They're nuts.
It sketches me out to have more than one species of cichlid in a tank, to be honest. Yeah. I don't want artificial hybridization. There's something about, like, natural hybridization is super interesting and cool, but to just say this fish isn't good enough on its own, I don't get it.
When was the last time you've encountered a yellow lab and you've been not over 90% certain that this is a true yellow lab and not anywhere, you know?
I think a week ago I was down there with Nick.
Okay.
And we were talking about, I don't know, it might have been 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the yellow labs that we'd gotten traded in. And there were 8 of them from 8 different people, and all of them, oh, that's a hybrid, that's a hybrid, that's a hybrid. And you know, yellow lab, I'm glad you brought that up. Do you know the scientific name of yellow lab?
Not off the top of my head, with three beers in me.
It's like
Caruleus.
Labidochromis ceruleus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know what ceruleus is?
Blue.
Right. The yellow lab is a color morph. A rare color morph of Labidochromis ceruleus.
Huh.
In 1984, 4 yellow labs were imported into the United States. The next time they were imported in the United States was 2002. I have seen a smoke ton of yellow labs from way before 2002. There are more yellow labs in the United States than there are in Lake Malawi. By a lot.
That's a wild thing to wrap your head around, you know? That'll keep you up at night.
And they almost all came from 4 fish.
And probably not the best genetic diversity on that one.
But they're still some of the hardiest fish you can get. Yeah, that's the crazy part to me.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a blue one?
Never.
Never.
Sad. I don't know that there are any in the United States.
Are they still in Malawi is my question.
That's my last wish, you know? Right. Once that's checked off, you know, we're good.
We're going to get hate mail because, I mean, cichlid people are, they're in their Malawi cichlids.
Yeah, but have any cichlid people made it this far into our podcast?
They don't send have us that email. Level of stamina.
Please send Charles an email.
Come at me. I don't care.
I will give some credit to some of the cichlid folks out there. There are some people that are working with cichlids in a very unique way with aquascaping and specifically biotope aquariums, really kind of crowning in the last couple of years and only getting further along in terms of how popular they are. And there are some folks that are doing some really cool things with displaying single species or, you know, a species of, you know, whichever cichlid combined with, you know, a Cynodontis cat or something to add some variety to the tank,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But doing it in a very artistic manner, you know?
But 9.9 times out of 10, those aren't Malawi keepers. Those are Tanganyikan keepers.
That's fair. Yeah, that's yeah, yeah.
And like Victorian keepers are even a step above that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys noticed today. So we do have a mixed Umbuna tank currently. Not for much longer, but we do have that. And for a long time, we had Biggie, our fateful Frontosa, who we had for, I don't know, some time. I've had that fish for some time around some 14 to 18 years. Yeah. I don't
even know exactly how long. The reason it's still a cichlid tank.
Right. So that fish was in there with a number of other Umbuna. And a month ago, 3 weeks ago,
yeah.
something like that, Biggie swam his final swim. And he was old, and he died of old age. And so he's no longer in that tank. Today, for the first time, by the way, that tank has been set up with the same group of fish or a similar group of fish for years. We did add a couple new ones, but this is not one of the new ones. One of the cichlids in that tank is holding.
Wow.
And that has not happened in that tank. Well, Biggie was in it.
Yeah, I think right after we started, we had like a ton of Umbuna in there, and we had one or two babies show up.
Right.
But not right. since then.
Now today, there's one holding.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of fighting is going to start in that tank because Biggie was definitely the peacekeeper.
Yeah,
he would doubt. Literally come out and be like, shut up.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
He was an awesome grumpy old man.
I'm going to miss that fish.
Yeah, me too. All right, Amy, let's rapid fire some alternates.
Okay. I had to put fancy goldfish on there because they're lucky if they can swim in a straight line.
I don't know why that got me so good. It got me good, though.
When's the last time you've seen a fancy goldfish that can swim?
Period.
We've got one on the bottom that looks like, I'm calling it the goldfish squat.
Yes. Where they're just sitting like a lump on the bottom of the tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got an alternate?
Yeah, I just think for the looks, that, you know, again, going with that face only a mother could love kind of thing, you know, look at your mud skippers, you know, and you know, again, a perfectly suited fish for the environment, but taken out of context and not given the appropriate kind of, you know, display to really show off its features, you know. Both yeah. stunning and
I
otherwise.
I just think about that meme video where they're just screaming at each other. That's a classic. Yeah.
Rapid fire some alternates, Charles.
Flower horns, because I'm really sick of fish waving their cocks at me.
I'm going to leave that in there. The knuckle hump on a flower horn is referred to as the cock, much like the top of a rooster's comb.
K-O-K.
K-O-K. You guys brought up saltwater, and so pajama cardinals.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Let's go with a tetra and put it in a saltwater tank.
But you have to pay a saltwater price tag for it.
Exactly, yeah.
And the toll's having three different color schemes going on at once.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to put bristlenose pleco on my list because it's the only fish I've seen swim into a hole it can't swim back out of.
Oh man, that's I'm getting like flashbacks now from my maintenance days of pulling like half disintegrated bristlenose plecos out of like, you know, all the Petco decorations and such that would miraculously find their way into the tank in between maintenance, you know.
Oh man. They just grew there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, even a clown loach knows how to back up.
Oh man. Can I throw a weird thing out there? Can I do a plant?
Oh sure. Yeah.
You know, love-hate relationship, but banana plants.
You brought those up earlier.
Yeah. Not a true aquatic plant. That's
no.
so funny because Nick sent me a text earlier today. It's the first time I've been asked about that plant in years, and you guys both brought it up today.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So why is it stupid?
I just look at it, you know? I don't think it needs any more description than that. You know, I'm sure someone loves it very much. It's not for me, so, you know, I'll move along.
Got another rapid fire?
Many. this one is genuinely like, if I had to pick the dumbest freaking fish on the planet,
uh-huh.
blue hippo tang, hands down.
I was gonna close with that one because there's absolutely no question that like Hollywood depicted that fish right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's either acting like it's dead or killing everybody else.
Or killing itself because it's being dumb.
Yeah. Just like hiding and forgetting it's supposed to eat. That's or a thing.
We had one starve itself because it decided it would only eat mice and shrimp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're an herbivore.
It's giving like clown loach mixed with blood parrot energy. You yeah. know? Yeah. Like it's kind of, I don't know.
But if they were both like crazy lazy.
Yeah.
They're beautiful, but they're just too problematic.
Yeah. Yep.
I can't stand those fish so much. I think they might be the saltwater fish I dislike the most.
I think they're one of the prettiest fish in the world. If I never saw one again, I would be okay.
Definitely the most irritating.
Oh, that's a perfect way to describe it. You know, again, yeah, they're gorgeous, but not appropriate for like 99% of anyone that's walking in any store, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes a 180 feels too small for one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, tangs in general, I think, can be...
Ah, tank police, tank
okay.
police.
Okay, all right. I don't know. When you're snorkeling and they're doing 180-foot loops around you for fun, like, it makes you think a little, you know? It
does make you feel a little weird.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Any more honorable mentions?
No, I can't top that. I cannot top. I mean, that's the fish to end with is the blue hippo tang. So
yeah.
I think that was exactly the fish that should be ended with. There are a couple honorable mentions that I had. Nah, they overshadowed by the dumbness, the simple mindedness of the blue hippo tang.
The only other one I had was male guppies, and I feel like everyone listening can fill in the blanks there.
Right. I just really want to hone in on the blue hippo tang. I wrote like notes so I could like remember why I put it on my list. For blue hippo tang, it literally just reads dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a frowny face next to blood parrots. So that really encapsulates how I feel about them, I think.
No, I also put African dwarf frog down, but that's not a fish.
that's a good honorable mention, I feel.
Yeah.
So. Well, I think we did this fun, guys. And hopefully there's not people going, you bunch of jerks, you just insulted my favorite fish. Oh, come on, be nice. We were having fun and we were doing it in jest.
Yeah, I love almost all the fish on my list.
I love many of the fish.
There's at least one on mine.
I want to hear what other people have to say. Like, what is the least intelligent fish you've ever kept? And what is the fish that you think is just ridiculous that it exists? Those are the two things I want to hear.
Or why bother with?
Yeah.
You know, to me, that was my target was, why? Because there's so many other choices. Not because there's choices because this isn't appropriate or because they're not hardy. Just because...
There are 35,000 species of fish, and you picked that one?
You have at least 1,000 to choose from. Jeez.
If you had a blindfold on, and you picked a fish.
Well, email your stupid fish to watercolorspodcast@watercolorsaquariumgallery.com. Or if you have a stupid fish, post a picture in our podcast listeners' Facebook group. And go to watercolorsaquariumgallery.com for some live plants. We don't have any stupid fish there, but we do have a sticker that has a betta on it.
Yeah, we do. Tell us if you think we're wrong. Tell us if you think you're right. Tell us if you think we just said really dumb things tonight. Speaking of that, thank you so much for coming, Jonathan.
Yes. I'm glad that this is the one you got to be a part of.
Perfect right. Premiere episode.
Clearly, he brought plenty of beer.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for doing that.
It did help.
It's the Midwestern greeting, right? So, you know, just...
open a beer.
Hopefully everybody has some really fun April Fool's days out there and takes this as lightly as we're taking it. And yeah, let's have lots of fun and keep those hands wet.